This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity champion, Annabelle Thomas. Annabelle brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
I'm your host, Annabelle Thomas, and today we're diving into a company that's helping enterprises detect, contain, and eliminate threats in real time, Secion. Their AI-driven Open Threat Management Platform, or OTM, is reshaping how organizations handle cybersecurity at scale. Secion's impact speaks for itself. One healthcare customer saw an 85% reduction in cyber threats and 95% fewer phishing incidents after implementing their solution. Across industries, Secion is protecting over 8,000 organizations worldwide, processing billions of security events every day. Joining me to unpack how they're doing it and what's next in fighting the fight against evolving cyber threats is Chandra Pandey, the founder and CEO of Secion. Chandra, welcome to the hot seat.
Thank you. Thank you, Annabelle. Thanks a lot for inviting us to the hot seat.
Absolutely. Super excited that you're here. Let's dive right into it. I know Secion's case studies highlight impressive outcomes, right? 85% fewer threats, 95% fewer phishing attempts. Can you talk a little bit about that? How does the OTM platform deliver that kind of measurable impact in such complex environments that we're seeing?
Yeah, that's a great question, Annabelle. So when we started the Secion more than 10 years back, from the day one, our goal was that we are going to do a platform. We are not doing a cybersecurity product because cybersecurity problem is not a product or best of the breed problem where you can have a best of the breed and you can solve it. So remember, you were talking about that, hey, how we are kind of like able to deliver those kind of result, because for us, we are taking the telemetry from any places you can imagine in an organization, whether it can be on-prem, cloud, SaaS, remote access, and pull all of those into the common context with the situational aware in the platform. So the platform is kind of, you can think about that 27 different product functionality are working together in the single platform with the common normalized data to deliver those functionalities. So what happens is you are able to reduce the noise significantly, get to the things which matters, and detect the threat, and then also eliminate, contain the threat, because you have that capability directly built into the platform. So you are not trying to get the data from multiple sources and try to have a human or even a machine trying to correlate. That is already being done. See, now these days people talk about, you know, getting the AI-based kind of like, you know, efficiency. AI is definitely bringing a lot of efficiency, and it has been bringing for Secion from the day one, because we, in the platform from the day one, we did machine learning, AI, as well as dynamic threat model. And our AI at that point was not Gen AI, but domain-specific AI. So we looked into the feature which were important from the cybersecurity domain point of view, and then all the AI and the machine learning were built into those set of the features over that 10 years, and then we keep on learning each and every day. One of the things you pointed out, just kind of like, you know, from our point of view, we have like these days, we ingest more than 1.7 trillion events per day. And that gives us a, like, you know, a pretty broad view of what is happening in the industry. A lot of things we see where those things become a kind of a visible in the industry or get talked about after a, like, you know, 3-4 weeks or so. And that also gives us opportunity to kind of like learn in the environment, in the real time, and also improve our platform. So right now, if you look into, we have now three types of AI in our platform. One is a domain specific. One is basically there for the all the triaging, which people can call it like RAG, MCP base and all that. And the third is basically Gen AI, which helps any of the security operation people becoming extremely smart. So what end up happening is you don't have to be cybersecurity experts to know everything. That tool, you can just click it and it will explain everything. And then also, if you have a question, It is already, you can ask the question, you don't have to go anywhere. Everything is in front of you so that you become like expert to take action. Other thing is, I do wanted to add it. Look, there is a lot of discussion about AI, especially Gen AI or Agentic AI and all that. Those tools are a tool. They are there to help you. They are not going to be completely replacing the human. That's right. So that's not the like the goal. Humans are still, because you see, other side is also the people who are working in the organization is a human, and human are not always kind of like going to be doing same thing like continuously. So there are changes, there are drifts. So you need actual human and AI, are what we call it, domain specific AI, your kind of like agentic AI and the Gen AI. All they are going to be tool working with the human and making the human be more powerful, more efficient, as well as able to achieve a lot and be a quick learner as well. That's the way we see that collaboration going forward for a long period of time.
Right. And I want to dive into that a little bit deeper, right? You mentioned you're not there to replace everyone, as I'm sure some are worried about. But as we know, every SOC team is under pressure, right? We see skill shortages, burnout, thousands of daily alerts. Can you talk a little bit about how Sekion is helping security teams not only become more efficient, but also reduce the human load of cybersecurity operations?
Yeah, that's a great question. So remember I mentioned that if you look into many of the categories, 27 set of those categories are in the single platform. And in fact, more are we are adding in into the platform, because the way we drive our innovation is based on what we see the weaknesses are in the real world. And that drives that, hey, those capability we have to bring. Sometimes, you know, we have kind of see that, hey, if we done this way properly, you can even reduce the load on the team. So if you look into, first thing what happened is, some organization, they might have 30, 40, some maybe even 100 tools out there. And it when you bring the Sekion, it doesn't mean that you have to kind of get rid of all the tool, because that's not practically possible. So you can also integrate that, but the Sekion is also taking your raw telemetry. So a lot of the functionality, you will start seeing it into the platform coming in there anyway. So even though we get a cooked telemetry, we are working off the raw telemetry, which is much more richer. So you don't have to deal with less amount of like, you know, noises out there. So if a KC point of view and efficiency point of view, definitely you get anywhere from 87 to people will call 98% efficiency, because you are not dealing with all those things which you have to do manually, or even with the like automations, you have to kind of go in and dig it down from the different domain point of view. So all of those are done in the single domain. So that is the efficiency point of view. Then efficacy is very important, because if you have close together platform, you are going to be making a lot of noise, because you are getting a cooked telemetry, or you are going to miss the things, because you don't have the same common normalized data set where everything is working together. Your API does not give you those common normalized data set. So if it's KC is very important, because if you don't have a proper KC, you might get some noise reduction, but you are not going to get to the point where you have to take an action. That's right. So that KC is also very important. Nobody can ever say that, hey, I'm kind of like, I have 100% efficacy. That's right. Because that is not something you can achieve in the 2 days, because cybersecurity is a very dynamic world. Because you might have a perfect platform today, if you are not innovating within few days, because threat actors and APT, they are as smarter or even more smarter and more motivated than anybody out there. So your goal is to kind of make sure that, hey, you are watching all the services. There is a chance that something you may not see into the stage 1, 2, you might have to catch into the stage 3, because those stage 1 and 2 has happened somewhere outside. It might have happened in the dark web, some credential are kind of compromised and they have not been fixed and all that. Somebody might stole a session and all that in there. So you have to be always looking from, if you're looking into the kill chain point of view, that detect the things into the early steps and stages and kill it, and then also improve your posture, because you see security posture improvement is very important. If you improve that, what you have done is now you are not giving them chance to even come in into the environment as well. So it's always efficacy, efficiency, and then the ROI comes into there, whether it's a TCO or ROI, depending on who you are looking at it, that also plays a significant role. And they are all associated with that, you know, how you are kind of pricing it, as well as your efficacy, efficiency, that also plays a significant role in the whole, those three kind of like a key parameter equations, you know?
Right. One of the key things you mentioned there is ROI. Many security leaders are being asked to tie cybersecurity directly to the business outcomes. Beyond detection rates, alerts closed, maybe efficiency for the cyber ops team, what key metrics or ROI do you customers care about most when evaluating Secion successes?
Yeah, so see, typically that your MTTR and MTTD, those had been always talked about, that's right. But if you look into right now, if go into there, people are want to look into is like, hey, outcome driven, like, you know, it's like security. So what is the outcome and how it has helped? Because a lot of time, you know, it's like security leaders are under a lot of pressure because they go in and they need either budgets or they need the peoples to kind of help them. Either they have to buy a license or they have to get the people and all that. And then always, if they does not have a matrix to tie up into that, hey, what they have delivered to the organization, and those metrics can be like, hey, from the resiliency point of view, that if something goes down, what is the kind of the cost of that being down there? Or you get impacted and have a bad kind of reputation because of, like, you know, you got compromised and it is in the news and all that. But the biggest thing, if you look into, which does not get talked a lot about it, you do not want to be in a situation where your intellectual property, trade secret, as well as, you know, it's like any of the contract submission you are doing and all those kind of, like, you know, getting like already visible to your competition or adversary, or even it can be friends. You don't want to be like, you know, those who can be visible, because those are extremely valuable for your organization. And look, in certain kind of industry, as a U.S. organization, they have been losing trillions and trillions of worth of the value. And those are intellectual, just kind of give you idea that, look, on the COVID vaccine, U.S. lost more than $100 billion worth of the, like, you know, it's, the value which could have been created because of the stolen, like, intellectual property and all that. And that things are happening each and every day, because you see, when you are compromised, and that can happen to the high-tech industry, it can happen to even manufacturing, you can happen to any of the, like, pharmaceutical, life sciences, any industry. I mean, so think about that. You have even, we have, in United States, you know, it's how much money get spent into doing the R&D, that's right? And that R&D, is somebody has to pay for it. You know, you can look into two ways, that, hey, somebody stole it, and then you are not able to get that revenue. What will happen? Next time, you are not going to spend that much money in the R&D. That's right. So it's really critical that people to think much more beyond just, like, you know, it's like, hey, I got PII, PHI, or EHR, and those data is stolen, and it is something you have to declare into the publicly and all that. But there is a lot of things happens which you don't have to declare publicly, but which can cause you to lose billions and billions of dollars. Think about some molecular research, medicines and all that. A lot of it's like universities, they do fundamentally a lot of research, and if their labs into those university, they keep on losing their intellectual property. That's right, where a lot of taxpayer money has gone into to fund those labs and all that in there. And think about that. That is not only impacting those specific organization, but as a country, we are impacted as well, huge time. So we always have to think about that, you know. It's like that, hey, as a country, also you have to be very diligent about that, you know, how the cyber security is kind of like being seen, how the outcomes are seen. And sometimes you have to kind of like make it clear as a cybersecurity leader or even a cybersecurity company that, hey, if you are not careful, you might have like a process or some even manufacturing companies have a lot of intellectual property processes, how they do any fabrications or certain things they are doing. If that gets stolen, they lose like not only just intellectual property at that time, but for long term, they might have lost sometimes hundreds of billions of dollars of value, which they could have created it. Now that is gone somewhere else, you know? So that's something we always have to take care and also explain it to the, like, you know, board member as well as the leadership that, hey, look, we have to protect. These are our crown jewels. We have to mark them. We have to make sure that, hey, we know who is touching it, whether they are from inside, outside. Also is like, hey, if there is a something, people are living in my environment, you have to detect and kill them. You know, it's like kill means like kill that kill chain. So that's what basically I mean to say that those values should be always any specific organization. You should be easily able to come up with the value, and even the vendor should be able to help that. Hey, what is the value of your organization's cybersecurity kind of like, you know, protection and the breach? And then how much you are trying to, which one you want to kind of care about, and just put those into like, you know, top category that these are the things I want to make sure my crown jewels are always being tracked and protected and not kind of like, you know, something which kind of easily get stolen. And that can be even like, you know, your insiders. You want to make sure because a lot of time you have certain places people will come as a postdoc or some other like, you know, researcher. And sometimes they are not careful. They will bring your own device, and all of a sudden you expose some things, whether it unintentionally or intentionally, which is like, you know, going to cause a significant amount of loss to not only to that organization, but it can be public as well.
Right. And I think you're spot on with that too. I know one of the biggest pain points we hear from CISOs is tool spawn, right? Dozens of products that don't integrate, creating different gaps in their security and alert fatigue as well for their security teams. Secion reports helping customers reduce costs by 40 to 60% by consolidating their security stack. Can you talk a little bit about that? How does Secion make that level of simplification possible without sacrificing any kind of visibility or control?
Yeah, that's a great question because you see, now we from the day one, we said the cybersecurity problem cannot be solved by having the best of the breed product and all that in there because you leave too many gaps in there. When you have a threat actors and APTs coming in, they are not looking into is like, hey, you got 100 product in there. They know exactly what are the gaps you have it out there so they can get through it. That's why it becomes very critical that you are, if you look into all the different like layer of the network, as well as application services, wherever you are, if you put everything into the common context, and you know, it's like once you do that, now you talk about the functionality. We deliver the same functionality, but we more efficiently, more cost effective from the licensing point of view, because we have a common, like, you know, format for the data and all the functionality are running. So it's a single platform. In the platform, if you have brought in everything together, now you don't have to have a 20 different product, 20 different architecture, 20 different data format, and then, you know, it's like 20 different API to pull through all those. So that adds up quite a bit in there, and you have a 20 different team to manage those product if they want to do it right as well. That's right. And then 20 different, if you have to upgrade, have to happen to one product versus other product, API may break there as well, you know, because they are not synchronized and not everything happening at the same time and everybody's not on the same page and all that. So not only you do 20 to 60% cost saving on the licenses, but we talked about that on the The human labor efficiency, the people who are working on it, one thing the platform brought it, another side where you need to have, let's say you needed 20 people, now all of a sudden you can do the same work efficiently with the four people. Sometimes people are talking that they get 8 to 1 efficiency as well on the human side. And that is only possible. That's nothing as a rocket science, because it's possible because all of those things have kind of brought in into the platform, and the platform is doing the work for you. So now you don't have to worry about those 20, 30, 60 different product expertise. Because look, at the end, when you have a 60 product, nobody has all the expertise. And then think about that, those people who have to combine it together to say, hey, what is the action is going to be there? That's right. So one thing is you kind of saying that, hey, I saw this. The other thing is, what is the actionable intelligence? Now, who's supposed to do it? Who's going to be doing the work on the network side? Who's doing on the endpoint side? Who's doing the application side? Who might have to go and do something on the web side? Who might have to go to the third party to say, hey, in your SaaS, we are seeing something over here. It becomes a lot complicated out there. And then that part is basically is like, if you are a very big organization, you can think about doing it. If you are an organization which has more than less than like 10 billion in revenue and you're trying to do that, you don't have infinite amount of the budget to go and make it possible. And then if you just keep on adding more silos, you are creating more challenge for yourself anyway. And you are not creating a better security. What you are creating is you are creating more blind spot for yourself and false sense of the security, which is going to come and bite you, or it might have already beaten you and you are not aware of it. Because if somebody is already just interested in your intellectual property, trade secrets, and main crown jewels, then they may just remain quiet and keep on taking it, keep on doing whatever they want, and they never want you to detect them, you know?
Exactly. Now, you mentioned earlier how Secion processes over a trillion security events annually. What are you?
Daily, actually daily. It's 1.7 trillion events get
Wow.
processed daily.
That's a lot. Now, what are you seeing as the biggest visibility challenges for today's security teams, and how is Secion addressing those?
So if you look into the visibility, is something very big, you know, and then a lot of time the visibility is what if you look into it's very easy. Visibility is something very easy a human can understand. That's right. Hey, what I see is happening into my on-prem environment, my cloud environment, my SaaS environment, my remote, and all that. And then if somebody is able to bring it together, that is really critical. And what does it require it? It requires that you are able to take the telemetry at all the different layers. So you can be looking at the network layer, you can be looking at the session layer, application layer, and even below me, so you might be looking into your MAC addresses, device IDs, and all that, and then human identity to bring it all together. Who is doing what? What user is at the risk? What user credentials are kind of in a risky use situations and all that. One of the biggest thing, if you look into the, you ask how we come with the innovative idea. Sometimes you look at those and you say, you know what? A lot of things is very difficult to tie together. If you look into the identity, you have identity management systems out there, and not all the identities are kind of the same, because you might have a same user within an organization might have 20 different identity across 20 different applications. And when you are collecting those telemetry out there, the telemetry are coming with whatever the 20 different names are there. So you have to tie them together as well. That's right. And it's not that easy to tie, because that identity system is not giving you that data easily that, hey, you know, these are all 20 identities are associated with the same user. Why don't you take it? So when you are correlating it, correlate it together. Now it's a human is supposed to do that. That's not a good thing. That's right.
Okay.
So if you look into bringing that visibility, and then visibility drives what is being kind of done by a particular user, application, services, processes, what are the vulnerability associated with them are out there, and then how to go and take actions, proactive actions to go ahead. You know, some a lot of times what you want to do is See, one of the things is like, proactive action point of view. It's really important that you do not just kind of say that, oh, you know what? I'm kind of just doing the detection. That's right. A lot of things, if it is already known out there, it's you are better off, like, put that prevention in the place as well in there. That's right. Because prevention means I'll just give you, we have in the playbook. If we are saying across those 1.7 trillions of events per day we are processing, we see certain things in there, we take that threat intelligence, then we have other threat intelligence coming in, we combine it together, and some of the policy get pushed even if the customer does not have any associated issue yet. That's right. Because your goal is there is no point waiting for that to happen. Let's take care of that upfront. That's right. And that is what the way you want to do. And you see, industry always have to think about that. Some people want to kind of prove the point. They let the threat develop to certain point in organization. They said, hey, now look, I stop it. Our approach from the day one, we said that, look, I understand that gives some people kudos that, hey, it's like we caught this and that in there. You should not have to get to the point. If you detect those early in steps and stages, all of these different threat actors, APT, it might be even some other issues, insiders and all that in there, and stop it, that is a better things to do. It does create some challenge when you are trying to show that, as a service provider that, hey, what is the value you are doing? Because if you keep on protecting all the time, everything is like looks rosy. It's always good to kind of like, show that in your reports or even your discussion that, hey, all of these things has happened. Because even for the CISOs or security leader, when they're going into their board, it is really important to kind of show them that, hey, these are the things we are doing. And that is the reason these things have not happened. So you don't have to go in all the way and say, hey, we had the ransomware attack when they were doing rapid fire access. Thousands of alerts came out, and look, we did not have them do the encryption. That is a too late in the game because you are detecting too late, and you don't want to be in that situation because that means you were kind of like missing that thing for at least six, seven stages of the MITRE framework or kill chain. You already missed that. That is not you want to do. Sometimes eight stages. So you want to avoid those things in there. Sometimes you may not have the choices because you may not have seen it because the things started from there because things were happening somewhere outside. That has a value, but you don't want to be going there. You want to make sure kill them into early steps and stages and then get done with it,
Right.
So as you had kind of mentioned that, it's like a prevention as well as a detection and continuous kind of cybersecurity posture improvement, and then able to meet any of the compliances. So as it comes down to risk reduction, your cyber resiliency, as well as like, your compliance, these should go hand in hand. And the compliance should be continuous compliance. It's not that, hey, it's an annual exercise when the things people are coming in there are asking the document, you do it at that time. It's better that you have a solution in a place where you are in compliant in the real time. You can show that, hey, I'm there. And that should be driving your cybersecurity kind of like a posture improvement as well. Because at the end, those compliance framework and all that has been defined not to just get a tick mark that, hey, you have this compliance, that compliance, or annual audit, you're kind of able to. So what you have it in there at that point, you should be able to do at the moment notice that, hey, look, I already have everything in a place, all the control I have, and the digital label as well as people processes, these are also being monitored and always kind of like, being updated or whatever you have to do using the, like, these days you can even on the document, it's very easy to use the AI tools to make sure you are always in kind of like, compliance and also putting the right set of the information. Even when the update comes in, you are ready in the real time. You don't have to wait for like another year when the audit comes out,
Right, exactly. Well, Chandra, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your insights. Before we close out, is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
No, see, look, Annabelle, it's always like honor to have opportunity to talk with it's like CDTV. I know that you guys ask a lot of great questions and always have a great kind of like drive to help out the community, and that is highly highly appreciated, because what you guys do and how you bring the things out for the community is very important, because cybersecurity is a problem where we need, as I said, it's a nation level problem. It's a community have to work together to solve the issue, because it's like any university get compromised or any of our organization get compromised, and if they lose their intellectual property, those billions and trillions of economic value created getting lost, we as a nation are losing. Not only that company, we as a nation lose that too. So that's something we have to always keep in mind, you know.
Right, I love that. Well, Sekion is making cybersecurity not just smarter, but simpler and more sustainable. For those listening, if you want to learn more about Sekion and especially about their open threat management platform and how it can help you unify your defenses, visit their website at sekion.com. That is SECEON.com. Chandra, thank you so much for joining today.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity champion and my good friend.